Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Help Me Rhonda. I'm your host, Dr. Rhonda Karg, and each episode I'll be presenting mental health related information to you. And as you can see from my backdrop today, I'm in a different room. I'm trying to get a better Wi-Fi signal because my previous videos have been really lagging really badly. And you would think in today's day and age that you don't need to actually be in the same room as the router in order to have a signal, but apparently in these old houses that were built in the 20s, you do. Who knew? So here we are. All right, so tonight we're gonna be talking about sex. And the reason we're talking about sex is that it came up in every single conversation that I had today. It was the universe was telling me I needed to have a podcast about sex. So I also wanted to share my hot take on a provocative or a few provocative topics actually about sex. So here we go. So the conversations that I had about sex were mostly surrounding this idea of shame and it not being okay to have sexual needs, much less talk about them, much less express them, much less do anything about them. And it's time that we all take responsibility, 100% responsibility for our sexuality and what we do with it. Okay? If that means that you're polyamorous, if it means you're monogamous, if it means that you are casually dating a bunch of people, if it means that you're, that you're solo poly, it's your life and you can create whatever life you want to for yourself. But the important thing is that you take responsibility for it and stop blaming your parents for the fact that maybe you have ideas about sex that are not healthy. So if you were constantly given the message that sex was dirty and that you were going to go to hell and that you shouldn't be thinking about it, and, you know, we all got really mixed up messages about sex growing up, or at least I know I did. No offense, Mom, but I think a lot of us got some pretty messed up messages about sex. And, like, to be honest with you, I really never had a discussion with my mom about sex after she told me about the birds and the bees, which was basically telling me that when a man and a woman really love each other and they get married, they get so close, they make a baby, which told me nothing. Okay. And then I wonder why I was a teen mom, right? But we didn't talk about sex. And so on my journey, I've come a really long way in terms of, you know, working through some of the shame that I had about it and really living my life much more authentically in terms of, like, how do I want to live my life, and, like, recognizing that I can have whatever life that I want to have and that it's my responsibility to communicate to my partner, if I have one, communicate to them about what I like and what's not working for me and what is working for me. But it's your responsibility to communicate that to your partner. Now, couples not having sex with each other. So years ago, one of my supervisors said to me, if someone is not having sex in their relationship, that's not a good sign. It means that the relationship is on its way out and they've been uncoupling for a while. Uncoupling is a process where the term implies the couple grows apart and they start breaking up oftentimes years before they actually break up. And so I want you to know, and this isn't one of my hot takes, and I know this is going to be controversial, this doesn't apply to everyone, but if you and your partner used to have an active sex life and now you don't, there's a problem. If you and your partner used to have an active sex life and you were both happy with it and now you're not having sex, or you're rarely having sex, that is a problem. I'm here to tell you. Guys, I'm here serving tough love 5 days a week. Now it's six. It's Saturday, okay? But if you're not having sex with your partner and you used to be having sex with your partner, it's not a good sign and you need to seek help right away. Okay, of some kind, but you guys have got some stuff to work through, because a relationship between two people where they used to be having sex and they're not having sex anymore, that's going to lead to you continuing to grow apart if you're not careful. So seek out some help, seek out some professional help to help you work through that with your partner. One thing that I do, which is called a paradoxical effect, is that if a couple comes in to see me and they haven't had sex sometimes in years, because sex is an important part of a lot of relationships, so I ask them about their sex life. And it's not because I'm just interested. It's because I really, it's an indicator of where they are in their relationship. It's a diagnostic question. Let's put it that way. If couples are not having sex, I believe my old supervisor, when he said couples that are not having sex have been uncoupling for a while. And I absolutely believe that that's true. That relationship is in a serious state if you used to have sex. Now, if you and your partner have come to an understanding that you don't really want to have sex very often, and you know, people's needs change over time, maybe you both are satisfied with not having sex, but if your partner wants to have sex and you don't, that's going to lead to problems. And what I say to couples that come in to see me is find out from them how long it's been since they've had sex. For some people, it's been years since they had sex. And for those folks, what I say to them is, okay, for homework this week, whatever you do, don't have sex, because you guys are not ready to have sex. So don't have sex this week. Whatever you do, don't have sex. And this couple is sitting there thinking, like, we haven't had sex in years. This is going to be no problem. Right? Okay, next week, next Monday, they come in, they're bopping around, they're talking, they're looking at each other, they're laughing. You tell her. Oh, no, you tell her. And I sit there and act like I'm surprised. And I say, what happened? And they say, well, we know you said not to have sex this week, but we had sex. And then I act like, oh, wow. And then I tell them, I come clean with them and tell them why I did that. But along those same lines, what I have people do is I ask one partner, how often, how frequently would you like to have sex? And let's say that your partner says they want to have sex once a week. And then I ask you how often you want to have sex. And you say 3 times a week. And so what you do is compromise. So the compromise between once a week and 3 times a week is twice a week. Okay. Which is pretty easy, because that means that one day a week you initiate and the other day they initiate, and you pick the days of the week that you're most likely to be in the mood to have sex. And it becomes something that you like look forward to and you talk about, and you might text with your partner about, or talk to them on the phone, talk dirty with them and get really like fired up about it, and then you can do it, and it's like really good because you've been like anticipating it, had that tension building all day, right? So maybe Saturday afternoon is the time that you initiate sex with your partner, and Sunday morning is the time that they initiate sex with you, and then it's their turn to like think about how they're going to initiate it and what they're going to do to you and how they talk about it and how they get ready and all that good stuff. All right, so you have sex. If that's the situation, you agree that you're going to have sex twice a week. One day, one initiates. The other day, the other one initiates. Now, this is really the best part about this schedule. And I know it's not romantic, but it works. The other thing is, now you have 5 days of the week that we have no status for these days. So what you do is 3 of those days are no sex days. That means no matter what, you can roll around in your own stink, you can be in your sweatpants, you don't have to shave, you don't have to worry about it. 3 days of the week, you are off the hook completely, both of you. You don't have to be thinking about, does she want to? Do I want to? Is she trying to flirt with me? Is she trying to initiate? You just take it off the table. 3 days a week, no sex. The other 2 days of the week, you can have sex if you both want to. And a lot of times, naturally, the couples start having sex. They start having sex on the days that they can. You know, both of them are interested in it. A lot of times they have sex, not just on the have to days, but the get to days. Okay, so it works. So I would really recommend that if you and your partner are not connecting physically and one or both of you is unhappy about this, really, guys, pay attention to this. It's so important. I can't tell you. All right. The third thing I have a hot take about is what I call slump busters, which are people that you date right after ending a relationship with someone else. So we used to call them rebounds, and we used to say that rebounds were really bad. This is my hot take. Drop a comment. Let me know what you think about it. I think slump busters serve a really important role. Again, slump busters is my term, but I think they serve a really important role in our lives. I think they allow some of us to heal and move on from the last person. And that serves a really, really important role, because some relationships end very painfully and it's hard to move on without finding a new person to give you hope, to know that there's other people out there that will love you and that you can have a relationship with, or that you can date or hang out with, spend time with, that there's other people, there's other fish in the sea, right? So learning that is really important, and getting in touch with that part of you again, like awakening that sexual part of you again, and like getting to know that person's body. I mean, sex is nectar to the world, guys. And so many people are denying themselves of this because their parents gave them some message about it, or maybe they don't feel entirely comfortable in their own skin, or maybe there's other things that they need to work through, but it's important to work through them. You're responsible for working through this. I'm not saying this for your partner. I'm saying for you, because sex is an important part of a lot of people's lives. And if it's something that you want to have in your life, I want to help you find that. So get to know your body. Talk to your partner about what feels good and what doesn't feel good. If you guys need to come up with a schedule where certain days you have sex, certain days you can have sex, certain days you don't have sex, if you need to come up with that schedule, it's helped a lot of people. I highly recommend it if you're not connecting with your partner and you both want to. And, you know, this idea of slump busters, again, very provocative. I've had patients come back from vacations and told me they hooked up with their bartenders, and I was thrilled because it allowed them to get over that last breakup that was devastating to them. It just helps you move on. Okay. So as long as you're honest with the person, and as long as you say to them, I'm still healing from my last relationship, and you let them know from a place of vulnerability, kind of where you're at. I'm not advocating you go out here and just run through people for your own satisfaction and healing. I don't mean that at all. I do mean that it's okay if you want to start dating. And let's say you started uncoupling from your partner 2 years ago. When this relationship ends, you're going to be ready to date like yesterday. Okay? So if you find yourself wanting to date really soon after your relationship ends, then I would say that chances are that you've probably been uncoupling from your partner for a while, and that's why you're ready, is because you've been grieving the end of this relationship for a while. You've been grieving the end of this relationship for a while. So the key then is to really get in touch with how you're feeling. Are you feeling shame about this issue around sex? And find someone that you trust, a therapist or someone else who's earned your trust. Talk to them about it. Explore it. You can do like therapeutic journaling. You can journal about it. But I want you to start living your life more authentically. If COVID has done anything for me in this world, it's allowed me to start living my life even more authentically than I was before COVID started. I don't care anymore what people want about what I'm doing with my life. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I had the courage to do the podcast, because I just don't care. I just don't. I'm out here living my life. And a lot of people, as a result of COVID, are out here examining their lives too and realizing what's working and what's not working. And living life for other people is behind me. I'm not going to live my life based on what other people want anymore. And I see a lot of people experiencing the same level of like revolution, and they're out here living their lives and doing what they want to do as well. And I really encourage you to find that power within yourself to really create the life that you're looking for. If that means alone or if that means with someone else, I want you to be able to experience your sexuality fully. If that's something that you're interested in, again, I know that some people are not interested in sex, and I'm guessing that if that's you, you're not watching this video. Okay. But for those of you that are interested in it, here are some things that you can try. Work through some of the shame that you have. Get in touch with what you want authentically. Turn your willingness dial all the way up to 11 and talk to your partner about what you want, what feels good, what you're interested in, and be willing to be seen, heard, and understood. And it's okay. It's okay if you're not happy with your sex life. When you fake orgasm, you're only really hurting yourself, but you're also hurting the relationship, of course. But the first person that you're hurting is you. Your partner has no idea that you're not happy. So it's important to start taking responsibility for that and communicating with them about what it is that you do want, and take responsibility for your sexual satisfaction, whatever that might be. Okay. So I'd love to hear your comments and your hot takes on things. I'm going to have many more podcasts about sex. I'm going to have several guests on that I've already talked to about joining me to talk about things like polyamory and kinks and things like that, and dating, you know, dating when you're older, things like that. So it's going to be really fun. So stay tuned for future episodes about sex, and let me know what you think about my hot takes on sex today. I would love to hear from you. And thank you so much for helping to crush stigma for mental illness and helping to make mental health support more accessible to people, and just for generally supporting the channel and getting the news out there. So please like, subscribe, and share. I appreciate the support very much. Thank you.